You should have a bulletin. There's an outline there for you to follow this morning, and we're going to ask this question, and we're going to answer it. Is it foolish to believe in the resurrection? Now, I chose the title for this message and for my one on Good Friday, which was, Is it foolish to believe in the crucifixion? Because today is also April Fool's Day. And so we want to answer the question, is it foolish to believe in the resurrection? And it's not often that Easter and April Fool's Day fall on the same day. It happens occasionally. Last time was 61 years ago, much longer than ago when I was born. It was a long time. And the next one, I think, is in 20 years. So it's about once in a lifetime that this kind of a thing happens. Now, April Fool's Day always falls on the same day, April 1st. Regardless of what day of the week it is, it's always on April 1st, April Fool's Day. Easter, though, always falls on a Sunday, but it's usually on a different Sunday every year. So how do we know what day we're supposed to be celebrating Easter? It depends on what's happening with the sun and the moon and planet Earth, believe it or not. Now I'm going to get a little bit technical for the next couple of minutes. And if you're not tracking, come back when I'm done, and I guarantee you it'll be a lot easier. The rest of it's going to be super easy to follow, but I thought that this would be kind of fun. Our Earth, our planet, if we can get this, there we go. Our planet not only rotates, it wobbles. See, you've already learned something. It's true. I read it on the internet. It's true. It rotates. Yes. Gravity. Okay. So we've got the sun shining here, and the Earth will not only rotate, but it will gravitate? Wobble. Okay, thanks. And there are times twice a year as the Earth is doing this kind of motion that the sun shines directly on the equator, the very center line on the Earth. And that happens twice a year. And when that happens, the day is just as long as it is the night. And that day that happens is called the equinox. Yeah, okay. So there is, when the Earth is rotated this way, that's the northern equinox, and then there's the southern equinox. Now, so let's take this just a little bit deeper. And let me tell you, this is how we come up with what day we're supposed to celebrate Easter. Follow me on this. The northern equinox, you've got the sun, you've got the Earth, and it just passed that very center point, and it's now still moving this direction. That was on March 20. That was just like 11 or 12 days ago, just recently. Passover, the Jewish feast of Passover, which is the time in which Christ was crucified and rose, here's where it gets a little complicated, always falls on the first moon after the northern equinox. Okay, follow me. We're gonna get through this. And the first full moon was last night. Yesterday. So Passover was yesterday. The people of Israel, Judaism, they always celebrate Passover on the first full moon after the northern equinox. Now, yesterday was the second full moon in the month, and that's called a blue moon. Called the blue moon. You thought it was just a song, right? No, there's a real thing. It's called a blue moon. Easter is always the first Sunday after Passover. You tracking with me? Okay, that's pretty good. So that's why Easter this year falls on April Fool's Day. And that's the only reason it falls on this on April Fool's Day. So where did we get April Fool's Day? Where'd that come from? I'll tell you. There are several traditions or legends or myths about where it came from. But I'm going to stick with the one that works best with the point that I want to make, okay? Different cultures around the world use different calendars. And there's some ancient cultures that used an agricultural calendar. And the month in which life begins to spring again, in springtime, flowers, trees, crops, Typically in April is when, for many cultures, the new year begins. April 1st. Now back in 1582, Pope Gregory the 13th wanted to have the entire Catholic world convert to a single calendar, the Gregorian calendar, named after Pope Gregory the 13th. He did that to better and more consistently regulate the day in which Easter is observed, because there's a lot of confusion out there. So he put out this papal bull, this announcement, that we're switching over to the Gregorian calendar, and on that calendar, the new year begins on January 1. Now, there are still cultures that use their own calendars. Chinese New Year was 6 weeks ago. So they use a different kind of a calendar. Our new year was about 13 or 14 weeks ago on January 1 because we follow a Gregorian calendar. Those who didn't convert to the new calendar, who were kind of behind the times and weren't staying current with modern events or current events, who did not recognize that the new year started in January instead of April, were called fools. Right? And anybody who believed that the new year started in April rather than January was called an April fool. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. Okay? And those who didn't stay current with the modern times were considered kind of backward and slow and not real intelligent, very simple. And so those who were more sophisticated would play tricks on them. And that's where the tradition of playing jokes and tricks on April Fool came from. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. I don't know if that's true or not, but it works real well with the point I want to be making this morning. Now, what about those of us who still believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Are we kind of behind the times? Are we simplistic? Are we kind of slow? Are we old-fashioned? We're going to answer this question. Is it foolish to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Many people would say that we are foolish. In this modern age, this age of reason, this age of technology, this age of communication, all those kinds of things, how can anybody believe that God or that anybody could actually come back to life after death? How can anybody believe that someone who was once dead could once again become alive? It doesn't make sense. It's not reasonable. It's not logical. But we believe it nonetheless. If you know the story of the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures, you know that there were many people who were persecuting him and punishing him and even wanted him killed because he believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he was proclaiming that message of the resurrection to as many people as he could speak to. In fact, he said this one time in one of his legal trials, and in his own defense, he said this, "I am being judged because of the hope of the resurrection from the dead." And that was the point that he wanted to make, that Jesus Christ is alive. And there is hope for those of us who believe and know for certain that he is alive as well. And the apostle here says that I have hope. I have the assurance of a better future. Not only in this life, or not even in this life, but for sure in the life to come. And it's all anchored on the fact that Christ is alive. I know that the Christians in the same way are judged and judged in other ways or for other reasons as well because of our faith in Christ. Because we have confidence in Jesus that he is alive and that there is better to come in the future and for eternity. And so to another group of people, the Apostle Paul also said this, "Why do any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead?" Great question. If you believe in God, or even a God, or deity, or a higher power in some way, why would it be so unreasonable or illogical for him to be able to reanimate what was once dead? Why is it so unreasonable to believe that? Here's another comment. Notice this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. "If we have put our hope in Christ for this life only, We should be pitied more than anyone. Pitied by whom and for what reason? Here's what the Apostle Paul is, what's behind these words that he's saying here. Those who deny the resurrection of Christ, those who do not believe in the life to come, those who reject the idea of eternity and a relationship with God through faith in Christ, believe that those of us who are fully committed to Jesus, fully devoted to Jesus, we're wasting our time. Because in their mind, in their worldview, in their value system, there's nothing beyond this life. Once you die, you're gone, it's over. So why would you waste your time with religion or with God or in believing in Jesus or whatever it might be? From their perspective, our faith is foolish. And they have pity on us. They think that we're simple, we are ignorant, and we are short-sighted, narrow-minded, and we're missing out. That we're wasting our time, that we indeed are the fools. But we're going to look at that. We're going to consider that this morning. Is it really foolish to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? If he is not alive, then we might as well just pack it up and just go, let's just party. Let's just do whatever we want to do. Let's be lawless. Let's be free. Let's just be crazy, because when we're dead and we're gone, we're dead and we're gone. There's nothing to live for. There's nothing to hope in. The scriptures acknowledge that. They affirm that. The Apostle Paul said, if the dead are not raised, then let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let's just party instead. That's the point. If there is nothing to look forward to beyond this life, then why even have faith in Christ at all? Are we not just wasting our time? Isn't it foolish to do that instead? Let me ask you the question. What if we put our faith in Christ in this life and live fully for him, wholeheartedly for him, all in, and then we die and then we find out, you know what, it wasn't true? What have we lost? Nothing. But what if we reject this whole idea of Jesus, the resurrection, the truth of Scripture, or the claims of Scripture? We deny that there is a God, and then we die, and then we find out, oops, it's true. What have you lost? Everything. If you're not prepared, and even if it's not true, we're okay. If it is true, we're really okay. But if those who don't have faith live that way and they find out when they leave this earth that there is more, there is eternity, and where eternity is spent was based on what you did with Christ when you were here on earth, there is a rude awakening that never ends eternally. So the wisest thing that we can do in this life is to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The thing that we talked about, the crucifixion on Friday night, a couple of nights ago. We talked about, what does it mean to believe in the crucifixion? Same thing to believe with the resurrection. There's two different ways to believe it. First of all, to know cognitively in our head the historical fact, yeah, I believe that it occurred. But the second dimension, the second layer is, did it happen for me? Does it make any difference to me personally that Christ died? Does it make any difference to me personally that he rose from the dead? It's one thing to acknowledge the fact. It's another thing to act. What difference does it make? What have you done about what Christ has done for you? That's the question we're really asking this morning. So here's a couple of things I'd like us to consider. What if I find out after I die, believing in Christ, I've dedicated my life to him, I'm committed to living fully for him, and I'm going to do the best I can to honor Christ and to follow him. What happens if when I die, I find out that there's nothing beyond this life? What happens? You know what? I've lost nothing. Maybe I've missed out on parties that I could have gone to. Maybe there's sin I could have been involved in that I said no to because I believed that there was something better. And then if I find out that there wasn't, what have I lost? Nothing. And what if I find out that there is no God after I die? What have I lost? Nothing. And what if I find out that there is a God, but he only wanted me to be religious? Not to be a person with a personal relationship with God. Just go to church, Dan, and you're good. That's all I want from you. You know what? Then I've lost nothing. But if God expects something more, then I've lost everything. And what if I find out that there is a God, but he only wanted me to try my best? I've lost nothing. But what if I find out that I've been reincarnated? You know, if I don't do their whole thing that they do, maybe I'll come back as a rock or something, or my cat or something. That's a downgrade from a rock almost, okay? You know, I've lost nothing. If you think about it. But what if I find out that Jesus was telling the truth? Okay? I've gained everything. I've gained everything. What is the truth that Jesus was telling? What's the truth he told? He said this, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Some of you know that verse. I talk about it occasionally. We talk about it here. I talk about it with others as well. And Jesus is saying, in this life, if you will accept as true that he came here to earth for us, he went to the cross for us to take our sin, to pay the penalty, the price, the consequence for our wrongdoing so that we could be forgiven, and he rose from the dead to prove that he was telling the truth, God put his seal of approval on what Jesus was saying and what Jesus had done. If we will accept that as true in this life, then when we die physically, we continue to remain alive spiritually and we will be in God's presence forever throughout all of eternity. Many of you know this verse, but you also know that this is not the whole verse. There's still one phrase that's missing. And here it is. Jesus asked the question, do you believe this? Do you believe this? That's the whole verse. That's the whole passage. Jesus didn't ask, do you understand this? He didn't ask, is there something else you'd like to know? He didn't ask, do you have any other questions? He asked, do you believe this? Why did he ask that? Because belief means even if I have more questions, even if there's things of which I am not certain, even if there are more things I want to know, if Jesus said this is true, I will accept this is true. That's faith. That's belief. Was Jesus telling the truth when he said this? Even people who deny the resurrection, even people who don't believe in the supernatural, even people who don't believe that there's life to come and that we need Christ as our Savior, will not deny that Jesus was a great teacher. They'll give him that much. In fact, they'll say that some will say that he was perhaps the greatest teacher of all time. Even people who deny the supernatural, even people who deny his resurrection, will at least give Jesus that much credit, that he was a great teacher. You've all had great teachers, haven't you? Good teachers, great teachers. What made them good? What made them great? I could ask you, I'm not going to ask you, but I can tell you one thing I'm pretty sure that you would agree to, that the reason the teachers that you had were good or even great is because they all did one thing, and maybe you had several teachers who did this. They told you the truth. Good teachers tell the truth. Great teachers show you how to apply that truth, how to put that truth into practice. I've had this conversation with people before about what a good teacher is and what great teachers are. I have never heard somebody say, you know what? I had this English teacher and she was so good because she was such a clever liar. Or, I had this math teacher and the reason that my life is changed because my math teacher is because he manipulated me. It made me a better person because of his manipulation. That's not what great teachers do. But people say that about Jesus, the greatest teacher. I don't know if I can really believe what he's saying. He may not have been telling the truth. Then don't call him a great teacher. Great teachers don't lie. They tell the truth. Here's one of the greatest truths that Jesus taught. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, was he telling the truth? Or was he lying? Or was he delusional? Was he confused? I think he was clear. I think he was crystal clear. I think he was absolutely clear on this. And the same question we asked about the previous verse, do you believe this? And are you willing to put eternity on the line based on this? Because that's what it boils down to. Where are you going to spend eternity, and what are you going to do with Jesus? It boils down to this. Now, those of us who embrace this, those of us who know this is true, and we accept by faith what Christ has done for us, there are things that we have that people without Christ don't have. And if you've been waiting to fill in the blanks on your notes, here it comes. Okay, some of you are not going to be able to sleep until you have those blanks filled in. You, like me, you crave closure. You need that. So here we go. One of the things that we have is life. Because Christ is alive, we have life. Not just physical life. Every human has that. I'm talking spiritual life. A relationship with God that will never end. John 5:21, Jesus said, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son also gives life to whom he wants. Spiritual life, eternal life, is a gift given to us by God and his Son, Jesus Christ. We also have truth. We have truth. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, people who aren't spiritual can't receive truth from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. And a part of our culture today is people are questioning whether or not truth exists. I've heard people say there is no such thing as truth. And I ask them, is that true? There's this thing inside your skull, it's called a brain. And if you warm it up and let it work, it's awesome what you come up with. And some people just need to learn how to light up this thing that God gave. We have hope. We have hope. The Apostle Paul had some very difficult circumstances in his life. As I said earlier, he was put on trial several times for his faith in Christ. People wanted to kill him. He also had difficult circumstances. Beyond that, he said, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Great statement, great comment as an expression of hope. Hope is the assurance of a better future. And the Apostle Paul knew that if God can raise the dead, he can do anything. There is nothing too difficult for God. And through every trial, every problem, every trouble, every difficulty, every challenge the Apostle Paul faced and endured, he held on to the confidence that God could see him through. And God was faithful every time. And he's faithful to us as well. One of the biblical arguments, it's logical as well, supporting the idea of the resurrection, is something that every farmer knows. Basic farming. Jesus put it this way. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. And he's talking about the idea that the seeds that are planted into the soil, anticipating a harvest, are pretty much without life. But once they are buried, they come to life and they produce fruit. I was telling some friends at breakfast this morning, if you didn't, boy, the bacon was good. The breakfast was good this morning. Nothing like bacon on Easter morning or any morning. It was good. I was telling them that I was going to talk about my twin brother in my message today. And I want to tell you about some corn nuts that he had when we were growing up. My aunt and uncle who lived down in California, for our birthdays, they'd always send us this a shoebox with just a variety of stuff in it, usually just junk food. And it was great. We look forward to getting that every year for our birthday for my aunt and uncle. And they would often throw in corn nuts. Well, my brother had his package of corn nuts, And he said, I'm going to plant a corn nut in mom and dad's backyard, and it's going to grow into a stalk of corn. That's the same thing I did. I laughed at him, and I said, no, it's not. You can plant it, but it's not going to happen. He goes, no, it's going to happen. Watch. You know what? He was right. It grew into, as far as I can, it's my story, I'm sticking to it, okay? Because it's the point I want to make. Do you remember, Mom and Dad, do you remember? Allison, you remember that? Remember Dave's stalk of corn? Okay, so there's a witness. I got a witness, yeah. Anyway, he was right. And I thought, there's no way this thing is going to grow because these corn nuts, you know, they've been processed, they've been baked, seasoned. They're real hard, crunchy, you break your teeth, all those kinds of things. But he planted it, and you know what? The thing came to life. And it was amazing. He was right. And I was just really surprised. And these little plastic packages started growing. No, that's not true. No, that's right. That's where I draw the line. No. Something that was dead, that dead seed came back to life. Yeah, it was amazing. And the Apostle Paul is illustrating a point, and so am I. The God is in the business of raising the dead. And Jesus and Paul and others, Dan, use this idea of planting a dead seed in the soil and watching it come back to life, watching it sprout into life. And the resurrection proves that God's in the life-changing, life restoration business. He's in the business of raising the dead. And I know that some of you at times feel like that corn nut, baked, hard, hardened, overprocessed, like maybe I'm done. Like maybe nothing can happen in my life anymore. But let me tell you what, like any seed that seems to be the end and it is death and it is dry and it is shriveled up, listen, God is in the business of bringing life back to where there used to be death. And he can transform your life as he has transformed and continues to transform mine. God is in a life-changing business. And he showed that to us by raising his son from the dead. The apostle wrote this, don't be foolish. A seed must die before it can sprout from the ground. And it's really the same way with you and me and our relationship with Christ. When we realize that where we're going, what we're doing, what has happened in our life, what we're making with our life is pretty much a dead end. There's nothing to it. There comes a point when we need to die to ourself and say, it's no longer me, it's Christ. And I am going to put an end to my way of living, my way of thinking, my way of doing things, and I'm going to follow Jesus instead. The Bible word for that is repentance. Turning toward God. Turning away from everything you've been doing, what you thought was true, and instead trusting Christ alone. Like a dead seed that sprouts to new life. It's something only God can do, and it's something God wants to do for you and for me. Christ rose from the dead in a similar way that a seed planted in the ground does. And Christ is bearing fruit even today. Today, people will trust him. Today, people will experience new life. They will find a resurrected life in Jesus Christ. That's the hope of the resurrection. And there's nothing foolish about having hope. There's nothing foolish about having hope. As long as your hope is in Christ, the one whom God has raised from the dead. There's nothing foolish about believing in the resurrection. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you have done for us through your Son, Christ, who came here from heaven to earth to live among us, to die on the cross for us by taking our sins with him. And as we learned on Friday night, because we have sinned, we are cursed. We deserve judgment. That's justice. But we also learn that Jesus became that curse for us, and that curse died. It was put to death. so that life might be found in its place. And so, Father, on this Easter morning, we are affirming that we do believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're here because of that. And some of us know that to be a historical fact, and that's why we're here. Some of us have gone farther, and we believe that Christ died and rose for me, for us. And that's why we're here. But God, my prayer is that for that first group, it's here because of this is a historical fact, it's a traditional thing. We know that Jesus rose from the dead, but why? So that we too might have life. So that those of us who feel baked and used and processed and hardened could experience a new kind of life, a new kind of living. But it means that we have to die to the old way and instead turn to you and embrace Jesus. So, Father, that's what this morning is about, is understanding that and understanding the wisdom of embracing the resurrection of Christ. So thank you, God, for the opportunity we have had to think about that. And Father, I pray that for those that maybe that have not yet said yes to Jesus fully, that right now where they're sitting, based on what they've heard and seen and what you have said to them this morning, that they would say yes to you and find the life that your Son came to give. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.